Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. Today we are continuing discussing the subject of Christian marriage. And I want to specifically target overcoming selfish tendencies in marriage. Did you know that selfishness poisons relationships? As a pastor's wife, my husband and I have spent some years pastoring couples and nurturing them in their marriage relationships. And over those years, we've had many a marriage counseling session. And my personal observation is that every single marriage problem that we've ever heard in the course of those counseling sessions could be boiled down to the simple root cause of selfishness. Regardless of the area that the couple struggled, selfishness in one or both of the spouses seemed to be the root behind their problems. Selfishness poisons the marriage relationship. A definition of selfishness is this: the character weakness of being overly concerned with one's own interests and desires and having little concern for others' well-being or needs. Most complaints that you will hear from an unhappy spouse will be that the other spouse is insensitive to their needs, unconcerned about their desires, or completely oblivious to what they need in the marriage relationship. Selfishness is only concerned for its own interests and desires and has little concern for the other person's well-being or needs. Selfishness will taint every relationship, but it most assuredly will poison the marriage relationship. And selfishness is a symptom of a cold heart. Jesus defined the purest, most tremendous love in this way. He said simply that no greater love is any man than he laid down his life for his friend. And when you lay down your life for someone, it's the giving up of selfishness, and it's the becoming selfless on the behalf or with the intent for the other party. That's the kind of love that God will put in your heart if you are a born-again Christian, if you have had your own spirit renewed by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The scriptures tell us when that happens in a person's life, that they become a new creation. The old selfishness and every other carnal thing is gone, and the new has come. And that new thing is the agape or unconditional love of God that's shed abroad in a person's heart. And if a marriage is based on two people showing agape or unconditional love to each other, you can literally have a marriage where it seems like it's heaven on earth. But on the contrary, when two people struggle with selfishness in their hearts and they in no way lay down their life for their friend, they're always trying to get what they need out of the relationship, you're headed for disaster and a disillusionment of that relationship. But God's antidote is His agape love. Now, the world's way, which is the way of selfishness, will always kill a relationship. Let me give you a few common examples. We see in the world the tendency to have people love only if it's convenient. In other words, they'll show love if it's convenient for them, if it doesn't get in the way of their own personal ambitions, desires, or other interests. But the scripture tells us in Proverbs 17:17 that a friend loves at all times, not when it's convenient, but at all times. Another world's way of entering into relationships is that the world would say to you, you need to think of yourself first, or watch out for number one. Even in your relationships, you got to watch out for yourself. Now, Philippians tells us God's perspective on relationships, because the world's way will kill a relationship. If you're thinking only and foremost of yourself in that relationship, you're walking in selfishness and your relationship will be poisoned and will eventually die. But Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says, let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Don't be concerned only for your own interests, the scripture tells us. Whereas the world says, look out for yourself, watch out for yourself in that relationship, make sure you're getting what you want out of that relationship, and if you're not, then abandon the relationship. The world's way, which is selfishness, will kill any relationship, but God's way will preserve, and it will cultivate, and it will cause a relationship to flourish. Another worldly perspective on marriage and relationships is this, that marriage or other relationships are simply there to fulfill your own pleasure. I once talked with a young Christian wife who had not even been married a year, and she was plagued by this thought that she had over and over again, and it was the words that the best man at her wedding had proclaimed as they did the wedding toast. And she said those words haunted her because she felt they were more of a curse than a blessing. And the words were this: the best man at this wedding, when both of the two were Christians, the husband and the wife, the bride and groom, and this young man raised that glass and said, to your marriage, as long as you both enjoy it. And that's a worldly perspective. And this young lady was haunted by those words. She said, I felt like it was a curse that the minute either one of us were feeling not the best about our marriage, that the idea of dissolving the marriage would be in the foremost of our minds. And she was right. Those words were a curse as long as you both are enjoying it. The world says to seek to fulfill your own pleasure in the marriage relationship. And if you, as long as you're getting pleasure out of it, getting something out of it, then stay. But the minute you don't feel like you're getting anything out of it, you're not pleased with the other person, then get out of the relationship. This is contrary to God's way of doing things and God's perspective that he would have us have as Christians. In Galatians 5, verse 24, the scripture says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, with its passions and appetites and desires. If you're going to have a successful Christian marriage, you are going to have to crucify your flesh. And your flesh will say, I'm not having fun anymore. And it will want to bail on the marriage relationship. Your flesh will say, they're not pleasing me, so I'm going to find someone else. But the scripture tells us that those who belong to Christ Jesus have to crucify, or you could say put to death, the flesh, the godless human nature. Because that attitude of, as long as you're enjoying it, stay with it, that's godless humanistic perspective or view on marriage. God's way of looking at it is, put down the flesh and lay down your life for your friend and love with the unconditional love of God. And when you pour unconditional love into a marriage, even if your spouse is struggling, maybe they are in a very low point in their life, maybe they're under tremendous pressure at work and they're not acting in the most loving manner towards you, and it would be easy for you to just say, well, forget them. I am out of this. They are no fun. They are a drag. They are depressed. I can't get them out of it, so I'm out of here. And that would be a selfish, godless, humanistic way of dealing with your marriage situation. Instead, the Lord would say, pour on the agape, unconditional love of God to that person while they're in their low point. And that love will not fail you. It will not fail to bring a result. We see in 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. And it is so true that the unconditional love of God is both healing, it is both attractive, it is both powerful. And if you'll pour that agape love of God onto your marriage situation, it'll bring healing, reviving to the marriage, and you can help your spouse in their weakest and maybe their worst moment, and you can revive and restore your marriage by walking in unconditional love. Don't take the world's perspective with your marriage relationship. The world says, be selfish. Just stay in as long as it's enjoyable to you, as long as the other party's acting right. But God says, a friend loves at all times. And crucify your flesh and walk in unconditional love. God will bless you for walking your marriage out the way He would love your spouse. He would walk in love toward your spouse in their lowest moments, in their most difficult times. He wants you to do that, and it will breathe life into your marriage. Don't walk like the world walks. Let's walk in love, and you will have a redeemed, restored, revived, revitalized marriage. That's all the time we have for today, but join me again tomorrow. We'll continue discussing Christian marriage. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. There's no wound so deep that Christ cannot heal it, no bondage so strong that Christ cannot break it, and no life so far gone that God cannot turn it around. Have a victorious week and walk in love.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.